ran up on the hill about 12 o'clock. Reached right back and got me a poke. Went to the hard one, got me a hook. Placed that line right on that hook. Said, you've been fishing all the time. I'm a-going to fish you too. I bet your life, your loving wife, catch more fish than you. Any fish bite, got good bait. Here's a little something I've let you lay. Any fish bite, got good bait. I'm a-going to fish you. Yes, I'm going to fish you. I'm a-going to fish you too.
This is the Why Fish Radio Podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad.
Hello, all you fisher people, and welcome to this week's edition of Why Fish Radio. As always, Why Fish Radio is brought to you by Cats on the Red of Lockport, Manitoba, and Trophy Cat Adventures, guide service at Grand Forks on their beautiful Red River of the North. As always, I am your host, Brad, joined by my trusty partner, Other Brad. How you doing this week?
Not bad at all. I'm actually proud to say I've got my ducks in a row a little bit when it comes to ice fishing. Got my gear out, got it organized, fired up the auger. I'm ready to go.
What have we been talking about this now for, what, 3 weeks now, getting the stuff ready to go? And now you're all of a sudden a step ahead of me.
Well, it took a little while. I never said I acted fast, but I've got it done now, and it's a good thing I set aside some time to do it, because you should have seen my tackle box. Probably the last time I used my, some of the lighter gear out last winter was in March on a grueling 45-mile one-way snowmobile ride from the Minnesota side of Lake of the Woods to the Ontario side of Lake of the Woods, and there was a lot of bouncing going on, and every single lure in that box had somehow melded together into this big kind of blob of metal and hooks. And, extricating all of those hooks from their conglomeration took a little bit of doing. But I managed to do it. And in the process, I came up with a system that I think is going to make for a little easier tackle dealing with next time. What I did is each of the trays in that tackle box, I lined it with a piece of foam. Form fit it so that the foam fit in there nice and tight. And the other thing I did is I'm not going to try to cram so many lures in there. But by having that foam in there, you have a place to fasten each hook so the lures aren't going to bounce around so much. It's going to keep things in place a little bit. And I tell you what, that box looks so nice right now, I almost hate to use it.
Yeah, like I said earlier today, not going to happen.
No, it probably won't happen. But, if this system works like I think it's going to, I mean, it's just one of those little things. Didn't take a lot of time. I just happened to have some pieces of foam laying around and a fit of inspiration. They don't come along very often, but when they do, you might as well take advantage of it. And that's what I did here. And I think I'm onto something here, because it's going to keep those lures in place. They're not going to bounce around. And, easy in, easy out. That's, kind of what I'm looking at here. So we'll see how it works. And like I say, I'm ready to hit the ice now.
Well, on the lines of the thing to stick your jigs and stuff into, last year I picked up a fly fisherman's tackle box. And, it's not going to work for bigger walleye jigs and pike jigs and stuff, but little perch jigs and things like that, gens worms, forge minnows, the smaller ones and stuff, it seems to work pretty good. And it fits in my pocket, so it's not a lot of stuff to carry around.
Well, and they're often the toughest ones to deal with, too. I often find in my tackle box they end up scattered to the four corners of the wind. There's just too many places for them to go. So, like you say, having a way to sort of keep them in line, I think, is a pretty good option. But, it just takes a little bit of planning on the front end, and it certainly simplifies things down the road. Nothing earth-shattering about it, but just one of those little tricks of the trade that can make it a little bit easier when you get out on the ice.
Well, something about making life easier on the ice, I believe you actually wrote about a little bit of that here over the weekend in your regular job. And, I was kind of an eye-opening experience, how it's come, I don't know what the word is, full circle is the term, I guess, in ice fishing made easier.
It really has. And, one of the guys I talked to, for that story, and he's often one of my go-to people when it comes to ice fishing stories, it's my good friend Greg Colaggio, and you've had a chance to meet him. But I mean, you talk about an ice fishing fanatic. I mean, there's a guy that's just hardcore about it. And he's, you know, he's in his upper 50s now, but, you know, so he's kind of seen, you know, probably more so than we have even, how this has evolved, you know, maybe from the days of, you know, basically just a broomstick, you know, with a couple of pegs and some line wrapped around it, you know, to a high-tech system like we've got today. I mean, with, you know, your electronics, you got your Vexlars and, you know, underwater cameras and you know, the new rods and reels and houses and heaters and everything else just to make it, you know, I mean, ice fishing today is a walk in the park. You know, back in those days, it was sitting on a 5-gallon bucket and freezing. And I tell you what, if that's what I had to do when I was out there ice fishing, wouldn't be going much. Not big into the freezing thing myself.
Well, I have to clarify this. Now, my understanding, and you're a northern Minnesota boy originally, you didn't use broomsticks. You used hockey sticks, didn't you?
Well, we did, yeah. And they tended to be Christian Brothers, too, just because of the part of the country we were from. You know, I don't, they seemed to work best. And, of course, you know, you had to put a broken stick to use somehow and then just pound a couple of nails in there and wrap some line around. You were good to go, you know. Not a lot of sensitivity, but it held line. And that's basically what they were. They were line holders. They weren't fishing rods.
I'm sorry I digress, but that was something that I always heard is broken hockey sticks make the best ice fishing rods. Now, when I started, and I'm a late bloomer, as everybody that listens to this show knows, we were already into graphite rods and spinning reels and line and the whole bit. So, personally, I miss the golden age of ice fishing. So, I guess I kind of started at the beginning of the popularity of the portable ice shack is about the time I started to get into the sport. And when Vexilar was really getting big and, you know, everybody was just starting to buy up their first FL8s. And now they're into the FL18s, of course, and where that's all gone.
Well, I think you could make the case that now is the golden age of ice fishing. There's never been a better time to kind of take this whole little pursuit up. You know, your equipment's better. There's just a lot of places where fishing is very good right now. There's so many options. I mean, you look at where we are, you know, within a 3-4 hour drive of where we are, you've got Devil's Lake to the west, you've got Lake of the Woods. You've got, you know, the Red River, you know, especially that Manitoba side right now. I don't think I'd be walking out on the ice here in town yet. But, and then, you've got so many other smaller lakes. You've got the Bemidji area, Detroit Lakes. There's just a lot of really good bites we've got access to, and we're really, really lucky that way. And, I mean, you throw some good equipment on top of it. These are the good old days and you know, very much a golden age, I would say.
Well, that's absolutely true. And I think, you know, putting all that together, it seems most of the inventors in the world of ice fishing are right smack dab in the middle of where we are here, too. So, it, you know, we are the center of the ice fishing world right now.
Well, as a source referred to it in the story I wrote, he called it the epicenter. And, it really is. I mean, there's been kind of an earthquake of ice fishing, I guess you could say. And, it, you know, it's a situation where the trend has started in the Midwest, and it's, you know, the shockwaves have kind of emanated toward the East Coast and the West Coast. You know, we're not talking about California, mind you, but, you know, out toward, you know, Colorado to the west and, you know, to the east, probably, you know, Michigan and places like that and, you know, Pennsylvania, New York. It's happened here. I mean, just, you know, sort of this embracing of technology and gear. We're the ones that have, you know, and when I say we, I mean, you know, the people that live here in the Midwest have kind of set the stage. And, you know, people in other parts of the country are taking notice, and they're definitely benefiting.
Well, we have the longest winter of everybody. And I read a book here, oh, I don't know, 5-6 years ago now, and I can't even remember who the author of it was. But basically it said, what else are you going to do in the winter? You're going to sit and watch TV, read books, do whatever. This is your opportunity to get out of the house. And, you know, thinking about where we live, the long winters, the opportunities to catch these fish, and then now you mix in these inventors and marketers and everybody who's coming up with this equipment that makes it easier and more comfortable, of course we're in the middle of it, just by pure location and length of winter.
Well, and I'll never forget one of the best days of ice fishing I ever had. I mean, you know, we all have these kind of trips that just sort of, you know, they withstand the test of time. They stand out above all others. And this one was one actually back in the late 80s, but again, had pretty good equipment. The only thing is I didn't have a gas auger, then had a hand auger. And considering the temperature that morning, it's, you know, maybe it's just as well, but I'll never forget, I left the house and the thermometer said 47 below zero. And that's not a misprint, folks, 47 below zero. And at the time, all I had was a little Ford Escort with a hatchback, but I could fit my fish house into the back. We went on a lake of the woods. We had a plowed road. We got that fish house set up and got the heater cranked up, drilled a couple of holes, and fishing outside, I mean, you know, putting a couple holes outside wasn't an option because they would just freeze right back up again immediately. It warmed up to a high of about 20 below that day, but there wasn't a lot of wind, so it was bearable. But, I mean, I'll never forget it, and I put my line down the hole, and the bobber just kept going, and I thought, well, geez, I must have too heavy of a jig, and pulled up a nice sauger, and the bite never quit all day long. It was just an absolutely amazing day, and, you know, certainly wouldn't have expected it in that weather. In fact, I hadn't even really expected to be going fishing that day because the cord on my block heater was broken, so I couldn't even plug in my car. And I stepped out that morning and, you know, like I say, looked at the thermometer, and it said 47 below, and thought, well, I'm not going anywhere today. But as long as I was up, I figured, well, I might as well check the car, and hopped in, and the seats were rock hard. I remember shutting the door, and it just kind of went clack. I turned the key, and it sort of went roar. But then it kind of kicked in. The car started, and I figured, well, geez, things running. I guess we might as well go fishing. And, I mean, it was, you know, you talk about beating Mother Nature at her own game. We did it that day. And, you know, it's just one of those things. I mean, could we have sat inside and complained about the cold and watched TV all day? Yeah, but we got out and we embraced it, and it was great.
All of our southern listeners are thinking, you're dumb right now.
Well, like I say, I wasn't sitting out on a five-gallon bucket. I mean, it was 70 degrees or more in that fish house, but we didn't do a whole lot of moving that day, but then again, we didn't have to. We caught fish all day. It was an absolutely amazing day. In fact, as I recall, it was Super Bowl Sunday of 1987, and I think the New York Giants were playing the Denver Broncos, if I'm not mistaken.
That sounds about right. I don't know how we got from small jigs 47 below.
Well, but considering we had no idea what we were going to talk about when we started this show, we've managed to BS our way through this one pretty well.
That's right. We here at Why Fish are real professionals. Some weeks you're just tongue-tied and can't think anything. So,
well, and I mean, that's part of the thing about fishing too, is you got to be able to spin a good yarn and do a little bit of talking, a little bragging, you know, filling space during those dead times, and we're obviously pretty good at it.
That's right, we're the best at everything we do in the outdoors, as
but
far
it's
as
getting,
storytelling.
It's getting a little deep here right now, so what else is on the agenda here? I'm trying to think. We've got a little excursion coming up this weekend. We're not really quite sure where we're going to go yet, but we got a couple options, and I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to
it.
Yep,
it's 9, let's see, it's about 10 after 9 on Monday when we're recording this week's show, and we're going Sunday and Monday and next week, and we have no clue where we're going. We're down to about 4 options. We'll leave it at that.
And it's a pretty good problem to have. So I guess maybe for this week we should wrap her up, eh?
Sounds good to me.
All right, well, this concludes this week's edition of Why Fish Radio, brought to you again by Cats on the Red in Lockport, Manitoba, Trophy Cat Adventures right here on the beautiful Red River in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And new this week, we'd like to welcome a new sponsor, that being Today's Tackle, home of the Ice Buster Bobber, and my good friend Bruce Mosier. And, you know, stay tuned for more about Today's Tackle and some of their products in upcoming editions of Why Fish Radio. But until next time, keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
You have been listening to the Why Fish Radio Podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad. For more information, log on to our website at why-fish.com.